Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 103 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 14% humidity. All right, I have a bunch of articles lined up today. Some of my better ones have been covered already, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to start out with a few Trump jokes. We'll get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
The phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crème Delicieuse, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
All right, folks, so I hope everybody had a good weekend. We're back at it again on a Monday. I got a bunch of articles lined up. Some of them are pretty interesting. But I figured let's have a little bit of fun this Monday, and let's tell a few Donald Trump jokes. Okay, so let's get it going. What does Melina see in Donald Trump? $10 billion in high cholesterol. Now that Macy's has severed ties with Donald Trump, how can the average American look like the president? By hunting and killing their own hairpiece. What did Donald Trump do before criticizing illegals? He made sure his pools were clean and his lawns were mowed. What do you call a movie about Donald Trump, Bernie Madoff, and Kenneth Lay? The League of Extraordinary Con Men. All right. What's the difference between Donald Trump and a sewage plant? Nothing, they're both full of shit. Why don't black cats cross Trump's path? Because they're afraid of pussy grabbers. All right. I apologize. What does Donald Trump and a porn star have in common? They're both experts at switching positions in front of a camera. All right. That's enough. Oops, I'm hitting the wrong buttons here. Okay, so let me see where my articles are. All right. So I thought this one was kind of funny. This one reminded me of the movie Idiocracy. And if you haven't seen that yet, folks, I highly recommend it. You'll get a chuckle. It's pretty prophetic. But I got this one out of Fox 10 Phoenix. I sent it to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion today. And the title is Little Caesars Unveils Pizza Portal, the interaction free way to get a pizza. Okay, so let's read a little bit about it. And then I'm actually going to play a clip from Idiocracy real fast. As if a hot and ready wasn't hot or ready enough, Little Caesars announced on Monday that it is making it even faster to get a pizza with Pizza Portal. The Detroit-based company says it's streamlining the pizza pickup process by rolling out the mobile pickup station across the country starting in 2018. The pizza portal holds the reserve and ready pies with a heated self-service kiosk so that you no longer have to interact with an employee to pick up your pizza. The company says it's a customer-focused service, and it's a breakthrough in getting customers their food faster. So this reminded me of this particular scene in Idiocracy where this woman goes to a Carl's Jr.'s kiosk trying to get food. So we're just going to play a quick little clip from that, just jog everybody's memory.
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry you're having
come
trouble.
Come on.
I'm
my kids
sorry
are starving.
This should help you calm down. Please come back when you can afford to make a purchase. Your kids are starving. Carl's Jr. believes no child should go hungry. You are an unfit mother. Your children will be placed in the custody of Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr., fuck you. I'm eating.
So, yeah, excuse the language there, but maybe you folks remember that. So, yeah, it's just it's a slow roll towards being Idiocracy. That movie was able to predict so much is mind-blowing. So, anyway, we're going to move on from some of the funnier, lighthearted stuff and get to, more of the depressing BS coming out of the New World Order. So when I read the comments on this article that I posted, a lot of people seem to think, like I am, that this is probably some sort of false flag. I sent this to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion today. It's titled Explosive Targets Minnesota Mosque. So this is coming out of NPR by James Dubay. An improvised explosive device exploded early Saturday morning in a Minnesota mosque and community center. No one was injured, but the explosion damaged the imam's office at the Dar al-Farouk Islamic Center in Bloomington, located near Minneapolis. The FBI Minneapolis field office is now leading an investigation in cooperation with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Bloomington Police, and other agencies. So, nine times out of ten, if you see the FBI and the ATF teamed up on something, chances are they had something to do with it. That was the MO in the Oklahoma City bombing. And then you'll notice, in the last decade or so, they keep finding usually young Muslim men around 20 years old, and then they give them a fake bomb, and then they bust them. Now, beyond the young Muslim men, they've even gone to the point of doing this to retarded people. There was a person, a young retarded boy in Tucson, that they tried for wanting to blow up a DMV in a Jewish community center. But the FBI started working with this gentleman when he was 15, with the parents' permission for some reason. And by the time he was 19, they were handing him a fake bomb and locking him up. So anytime you see ATF and the FBI together on something, you know, kind of hold a queer eye to it and just assume false flag. At least I do. So let's continue. The FBI said the preliminary investigation indicated the explosion was caused by an improvised explosive device, but would not characterize the device any further, reports Peter Cox of Minnesota Public Radio. They said their focus was to determine the who and the why behind the incident. So I guess pretty commonplace around the world when there's elections. They get a small little firecracker blow up the door at the election facility. I know this happened in Rochester, New York to one of our, I believe a senator, Louise Slaughter. She had a little firecracker in her window when she was trying to get reelected. And these are the same types of tactics Israel uses constantly. They create some sort of an incident, and then they have some sort of goal in mind that the incident is getting them closer to. So anyway, Bloomington police said that they received a call at 5:05 a.m. reporting an explosion. First responders arrived and observed some smoke and some damage to a limited portion of the community center, Bloomington Police Chief Jeff Plotz told reporters. So that's interesting that it happened at 5 a.m. when they knew nobody would be there. So what's the point? You know, I guess if you want to create some building damage, wouldn't you just set the place on fire? It seems it would be more effective. Anyway, at least than the IED that they used. Pictures from the outside show a broken window on the side of the building. The Muslim Society of Minnesota posted pictures of the damaged office in its Facebook page. So, yeah, they apparently threw the bomb in through one of the windows, and it damaged a single office. One of our congregations saw a pickup truck leaving from the parking lot at a very unusual, you know, speed, said the mosque director, Mohammed Omar. Faith leaders and community members gathered to denounce the attack. An attack on a mosque is an attack on a synagogue, is an attack on a church, is an attack on all faith communities. Curtis DeYoung, the CEO of the Minnesota Council of Churches, told reporters, "And so we stand with you, a million Protestants." Is that what that says? Protestants in Minnesota. Okay. The Dar al-Farouk Center welcomes and expresses gratitude to members of different faith-based communities who turned up in large numbers to show their solidarity and support to us in a time of grief, blah, 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 blah. We just got to assume that without any video. I wouldn't believe it. And even so, they'd have to pan that video camera back and see how many people are actually at the event. The center has received threatening calls and emails before. Omar told the Star Tribune, callers have said that we shouldn't be here, that we are a burden to the community, or we are harming it, the newspaper reports. The Muslim American Society of Minnesota and the Minnesota chapter of the Council of American Islamic Relations are each offering a reward for information leading to arrests in the case. And I think we'll just move on to the next article. Okay. So I found this one kind of interesting. I sent this to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion. This one's coming out of NPR. This is how the dream of American nuclear renaissance fizzled. So to me, this kind of ties into the hydroelectric and alcohol as a fuel. Nuclear is an effective method of creating electricity. The energy from the nuclear fuel rods boils water, and that runs a generator. That's how it works. But we have seen through incidents that it can be very dangerous. I think I made a pretty good case a week back proving that hydroelectric is being blocked on a federal level, and this article basically shows the same thing in regards to nuclear power, that even nuclear power is being blocked. So let's just go ahead and get into it. How the dream of America's nuclear renaissance fizzled. Okay. A decade ago, utility executives and policymakers dreamed of clean energy future power, a clean energy future powered by a new generation of cheap, safe nuclear reactors. Projects to expand existing nuclear plants in South Carolina and Georgia were supposed to be the start of the nuclear renaissance. But following the decision last week by two utilities to scrap the expansion at the Virgil Sees Nuclear Generating Station in South Carolina, that vision is in tatters. There's now just one nuclear expansion project left in the country. Its future is also uncertain. The remaining project is an expansion at the Vogtle Electric Generating Plant in eastern Georgia. As recently as 5 years ago, then Energy Secretary Stephen Chu visited Plant Vogel and declared the project the start of the resurgence of America's nuclear industry and a critical part of President Obama's energy strategy. The two new reactors at Plant Vogel were the first next-generation reactors in the country and some of the first new reactors to be built in the U.S. in three decades after the partial meltdown at Pennsylvania's Three Mile Island in 1979. The U.S. nuclear industry went into hibernation for more than two decades. But by the early 2000s, the Three Mile Island accident and the 1986 meltdown at Chernobyl were distant memories, says Paul Murphy, managing director in the energy group at the law firm Gowling WLG. On top of that, people were projecting significant growth in power demand, he adds. The earlier generation of nuclear power stations are also starting to reach the end of their lifespans, and some are being shuttered. Building a nuclear reactor is expensive and time-consuming, but once it's up and running, it offers cheap and reliable electricity without generating the greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change. No, they just make a bunch of radioactive material, but, you know, forget that. I mean, God forbid we use the rivers and the sunshine. Anyway, recession, fracking, renewable energy. With encouragement from the federal government, utilities around the country began applying for permission to build new reactors. At Vogtle in Georgia and VC Summer in South Carolina, power companies got to work. I thought it was going to be a very good thing for the southern economy, says Marlon Brown, a public policy professional at Georgia Tech and a member of the Tennessee Valley Authority. That seems to be familiar. I think the Tennessee Valley Authority had something to do with the Hydroelectric Collective. If my memory serves me correctly, that was put in under the Roosevelt administration. Let's continue. Which operates three older nuclear power plants in Alabama and Tennessee. Then there were setbacks. First came the global financial crisis, which flattened the demand for electricity. Then fracking flooded the market with cheap natural gas. Renewable energy, especially wind power, also got more competitive. I guess. I think wind power is crap. Unless you're in an area that's constantly windy, I don't see how wind power is that effective versus the amount of upkeep and the amount of infrastructure you got to put in place. The fact that it's not constantly turning out the electricity, how could it be as effective as something like hydroelectric or even nuclear? Not that I'm an advocate for nuclear. Let's continue. According to Brown, that meant if you went back to reappraise the nuclear investments, they probably would not have been approved or might not have been approved. Both the Georgia and South Carolina nuclear project racked up billions of dollars in cost overruns and delays. Then earlier this year, Westinghouse, which was building the reactors in both states, went bankrupt, blaming high construction costs for its problems. Well, I didn't hear about that. That's interesting. Finishing the plant in South Carolina without Westinghouse didn't make financial sense for the South Carolina utilities, so they scrapped the project. Last kid on the block. Now, Vogel's the last kid on the block, says Stan Weiss, the chairman of the Georgia Public Service Commission, which regulates local utility Georgia Power. The utility says it will propose later this month whether or not to complete the Vogel expansion. Weiss says Georgia Power is in a better financial situation than South Carolina's utility. Hold on. Let's see if there's anything worth reading the rest of this article. I'm still a proponent of nuclear, says Weiss. Let's see. They're hoping the expansion. They're talking about climate change. Okay, so that's about it for that article. But I just wanted to point out that I'm not sure if I can call nuclear a green solution. I'll be honest, I don't know that much about it, but I do know that it does produce nuclear waste, and I know that nuclear waste needs to be shelved somewhere. It needs to be put underground, and there's always a chance that you could get groundwater or have an earthquake or something like that. So to me, I wouldn't necessarily call it a green technology, but I mean, if it was being done and applied appropriately, it definitely could help get us closer to having affordable energy. And to see that that's being blocked the same as hydroelectric is being blocked is just kind of not a surprise to me. So there's been a lot of articles coming out of Germany having to do with anti-Semitism. And I thought these were kind of interesting, considering that there's a push for these boycott, divest, and sanction laws in the United States. Many states have put their own through, some cities have put them through, and now on a national level, they're trying to put through BDS laws. So I think we should keep an eye on what goes on in Germany, because they're trying to make us Germany. So I'll just say, hey people, anybody listening to my voice, don't be afraid to speak out. Speak out a whole bunch, okay? Keep speaking out. Never stop speaking out. The day you stop speaking out is the day that you're going to lose your right to speak out. So continue to exercise it. Don't be afraid. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, chances are you're already on a list anyway. And if the list grows to be too big, what are they going to do about it? You know? So anyway, I sent this to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion. It's another one coming out of National Public Radio. Nazi salutes and an arrest for Chinese tourists in Berlin. This one's by Amy Held. Okay, I'm just going to get a sip of water real quick. Just bear with me, folks. Okay, so we all know the Chinese people like taking their pictures, huh? So this one's about some Chinese tourists. Two Chinese tourists posing for cell phone pictures in front of the Reichstag, Germany's parliament building, wound up under arrest Saturday for making the Heil Hitler gesture, according to multiple media reports citing German police. Two men, aged 36 and 49, have been released after each posting bail close to $600.
Bullshit.
Hate speech and symbols are largely verboten today in Germany. The Nazis, who ruled between 1933 and 1945, used such methods to whip up support, allowing millions of Jews and other minorities to be systematically slaughtered.
Bullshit.
After World War II, the Nazi Party was banned and strict rules against hate speech and the symbols were designed to protect vulnerable people.
Bullshit.
On Saturday, the Chinese men were charged under Germany's criminal code prohibiting the use of symbols in unconstitutional organizations, including flags, insignia, uniforms, slogans, and forms of greeting.
Bullshit.
So aren't you glad you have a Bill of Rights here, folks? Doesn't it seem like the Bill of Rights, it doesn't matter what your political leanings are, doesn't it make sense that we can unite under this Bill of Rights? And if we were to actually get a government that respected the Bill of Rights, we'd be in a much better position. Definitely in a better position than the Germans. Hell, we're in a better position than the Germans right now. Anyway, let me see if I can figure out where I left off. Okay, banned vulnerable people. Okay, Breaking the law is punishable by fine or up to 3 years in prison. So apparently if you just make a greeting with somebody or a hand gesture or use a slogan or you create a symbol, you can get up to 3 years in jail in Germany, in prison apparently. The Reichstag holds powerful significance to Germans. It burned down in 1933. The Nazis blamed communists and exploited the blaze to increase the police state and restrict freedoms of speech, press, and assembly throughout the country. The Reichstag was rebuilt after the war. Now, does that sound familiar, folks? Maybe we had our own Reichstag fire in New York City on 9/11 and at the Pentagon, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm drawing a parallel there, and I shouldn't be, but it seems that way to me. Okay. The New York Times reports Germany has seen a surge of Chinese tourists in recent years after the European Union was approved as a travel destination. By what, the Chinese? Anyway, approximately 2 million Chinese visitors come to Germany each year. And while the Germans are familiar with the legacy of World War II and the laws forbidding Nazi gestures, it is less certain that foreign tourists are aware of the rules. A police spokesman told the Times she did not know whether the tourists were still in Germany. So, yeah, between the two of them, they had to fork over $1,200, I guess. And we don't know whether they're in Germany or not. Maybe they're going to be locked up for 3 years, 36 months. So what do you guys think of that? So do we have any callers that might want to come up? I've heard a few dings in the beginning of the program. So anyway, so we got this next article coming out of Germany as well. This one's sent to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion by yours truly. The title of this article is German City Bans Vote on Israel is Illegal. So I'll read that again. German City Bans Vote on Israel is Illegal. Okay. This is, if I didn't mention it, this is coming from the Jerusalem Post. And before we get into it, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, folks. And I encourage when we get from back from the break, come on up and call on in. You know, if you got anything you want to bring up, doesn't even have to be related to what I'm talking about. Just feel free to interrupt and get in there. All right, we're going to take our break, folks. We'll be right back.
Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top. Ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half bear, the other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Once two strangers climbed old Rocky Top looking for a moonshine still. Strangers ain't come down from Rocky Top, reckon they never will. parts to Rocky by far. That's why all the folks on Rocky Top get their corn from a jar. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
They shot my boy, my only son, my pride and joy. They left my wife in on the floor, holding our baby in the cabin door. Don't shoot me down.
Don't shoot me down.
Don't shoot me down.
Don't shoot me down. I got a wife and kids on Ruby.
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. All right. It is 1:38 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. And that was Old Crow Medicine Show with Ruby Ridge coming out of the break. All right, folks, so if at any time our callers want to come in, chime in, just go ahead and interrupt me. But we're going to get back to this article coming from the Jerusalem Post titled, German City Bans Vote on Israel is Illegal. Okay.
Hey, David?
Yes.
Yeah, I just, this, Misty, commented on one of your God, I'm getting bad feedback. Never
mind. If you just want to give it another go, sometimes if you just mute up and unmute and call or hang up and call back in, sometimes it should stop the feedback. So I apologize if there's some sort of loop. I can do whatever I can on my end, but if you want to go ahead and try, we can definitely hear you clearly, and I apologize for the feedback that you're hearing on your end. Do you want to give it another go, Misty? Okay, well, at any time, you can call right back in and interrupt me, and it could just be the connection that you're having. Sometimes if you're on a cellular phone, you'll end up getting a lot of feedback, and I would just encourage folks to hang up and call the number again, and that should solve the problem. So, anyway, we're going to read this article. Interrupt me at any point. Authorities in the northern German city of Bremen have prohibited a radical pro-Iranian regime group from conducting a public vote on Saturday on whether Israel is an illegal state. According to a statement by the Feather, the group that mounted the protest against the existence of the Jewish state, municipal authorities in Bremen, in contrast to actions in, these words are hard to pronounce, Delmenhorst in Hanover, did not permit this time. Actually, you know what? I'm going to can this article. We're going to move to a different one. I thought this one was a little bit more interesting. Turkey's Erdogan says Germany abetting terrorists. Ankara. Okay, this one's coming from the Jerusalem Post as well. This was posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com by me for discussion. Ankara, Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan accused Germany on Monday of assisting terrorists by not responding to thousands of files sent to Berlin or handing over suspects wanted by Turkish authorities. Germany is abetting terrorists, Erdogan told a conference in the Black Sea province of Rize, in comments likely to further escalate tensions between the two countries. We gave German Chancellor Angela Merkel 4,500 dossiers, but have not received a single answer to one of them, he told members of the AK ruling party. When there is a terrorist, they can tell you to give us that person back. We won't send you the ones you have to us, but can you ask us for yours? So you have a judiciary, but we do not have, but we don't in Turkey. I'm not even understanding that. Okay. Anyway, so I found this one was kind of interesting. This one was coming from the UK. This was off the Associated Press. It's sent to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by me. The UK plans to strengthen online right to be forgotten. So I think this is one of those articles where you really need to read between the lines, because what I think they're proposing here is some form of censorship. On its face, this is going to seem like a good idea, but I think lurking behind the scenes is probably another motive. So let's just go ahead and read it. Get a sip of water real quick. Okay, so London AP. Britain plans to strengthen the online right to be forgotten with a law making social media companies delete personal information on request. The government on Monday published details of a data protection bill, including a provision allowing people to ask for personal data held by companies to be erased. The changes also would make it easier for people to find out what data companies or organizations hold on them, and would ban firms from collecting personal information without explicit consent. The proposed law gives a regulator power to levy fines up to £17 million, the equivalent is $22 million, on firms that fail to comply. The bill is intended to replace European Union privacy protections when Britain leaves the bloc in 2019. It must be approved by Parliament to become law. Now, wouldn't that completely ruin Google's model? Isn't their whole model built on stealing your information and using it to throw ads your way and to change your search result? And then another thing I'm questioning about this as well is, how many of these companies even exist within the UK or even exist within the European Union? So what are they going to be able to sue on an international basis? Are they going to sue Facebook or something like that, which is located in the United States in California? So I'm kind of questioning if there's something like behind this, if there's a way that they can use to remove information from the internet. Like say if somebody does some whistleblowing and maybe some information on a corrupt politician or actor on the world stage comes to light and they want to keep the information about that individual away from people like us, it seems like that might be where they would want to use this type of a law. But as far as how they're going to do it on an international scope, I don't really understand. So this isn't really big news. I posted this next article at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. This one's coming out of Jacksonville.com. And this actually happened to a friend of mine. A friend of mine got pulled over about 2 to 3 months ago, heading to work one morning, and he was going 55 in a 45-mile-per-hour zone, and at about 6 a.m. got pulled over. The sheriff was oncoming, did a U-turn, pulled him over. Now, my buddy's truck, his window doesn't function, so he just didn't do anything. He didn't open the door. He just sat there, didn't do anything. And it was an elderly female county sheriff who opened his door, gun drawn, pointing the gun at him, just over 10 miles over the speed limit. And to me, there's more danger of death or grave bodily harm to the innocent happening because that officer did a U-turn and then pulled him over on the side of the road and conducted business on the side of the road. That created more danger of death or grave bodily harm to the innocent than going 10 miles over the speed limit on a pin straight road could possibly ever do. I mean, how many videos have we seen of these police officers getting squashed on the side of the road writing these tickets, okay? So beyond just that, beyond the U-turn, beyond pulling over on the side of the road, this woman brandished a firearm and actually pointed it at another human being. Now, what would happen if I decided to point my pistol at one of my neighbors who I felt owed me a couple $100 because of some infraction? You know, they put me in I don't know how long I'd go to jail for pointing a pistol at somebody, but I'm sure it'd be more than a year or two. But apparently, just for a few $100 of revenue generating, it's okay to point pistols at Americans. So this article is titled, "Prominent Pastor Says Jacksonville Officer Pointed Gun at Him During Questioning Over His Window Tint." So I think this pastor, when you read through the article, it shows that he's a Freemason. So I think he's kind of full of shit, and I think he's playing the race card to the umpth degree, because we know this stuff happens to Caucasians, it happens to Chinese people. It doesn't matter what your skin tone is, you're going to get pulled over and messed with. Granted, if you're in certain areas, you're going to get profiled a little bit higher, but to try to act like this is only happening to black people is just bullshit to me.
Bullshit.
Okay, prominent pastor says Jacksonville officer pointed gun at him during questioning over his window tint. Church and community leaders are convening a town hall meeting to discuss driving while black after a prominent minister said a Jacksonville police officer pointed a gun at him and his nephew while questioning their vehicle's tinted windows. The Reverend Darian K. Bolden, sir, past president of the Baptist Ministers Conference, said he won't comment on what happened until Friday's gathering, and the sheriff's office has been limited in its response. But nevertheless, the incident has been condemned by the head of the local NAACP, as well as the man in charge of the Florida General Baptist Convention. So I wouldn't get in the habit of trusting the NAACP. They seem like they're getting their strings pulled by the Masons, you know. As soon as the whole push for taking down the monuments was going down here in Arizona, the NAACP was the one that came out yelling the loudest. And when you look at these people that were brought up in front of the microphone, they just look like a bunch of pimps. They just look like they're driving around in a Cadillac with a couple broads on either arm. They don't look like they're impassioned about any of this stuff. They're all wearing fine suits. They all got perfectly bleached teeth and the rest of it. Anyway, okay, Bolden, senior pastor of the First Ministry Baptist Church of Fredania Beach, said the State of Jacksonville Town Hall meeting will be at 11 a.m. Friday at Central Baptist Institutional Church, blah, 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 blah. The Florida General Baptist Convention, Baptist Ministry Conference. Okay, well, anyway, let's see, where's the meat here? Okay. Isaiah Rumlin, president of the Jacksonville branch of the NAACP, said he is deeply concerned about what he called an unwarranted traffic stop of Bolden over a possible window tint violation. He said he is even more concerned that the police officer apparently pulled a gun on Bolden and his nephew during questioning. "We have a good relationship with the sheriff. What happens last week is just unacceptable," Rumlin said. "I think there's got to be better training as it relates to mental health, as it relates to how officers approach people when they are pulled over. If there's not, somebody is going to get killed as a result of these officers." I don't think mental health is it in a nutshell. I think another big part of it is these people are scared. They're scared because of the propaganda that's going their way. And you know what? Look at what they're a part of. Look at what they're propping up. Look at what they've allowed to come to fruition in the United States. They are not really sitting at the top of the moral high ground. If anything, they're at the bottom. So I could see why these individuals would be scared. They're not doing the right thing. They're not doing it for the right reason. Yes, I don't want to see people getting killed on the highway and all that stuff. But when you're revenue generating, you're just literally taking food out of people's mouths, and you're taking money right out of the back of their pocket. And when if they haven't broken anything, if they haven't defamed anybody's character, if they haven't plagiarized, if they haven't touched somebody unjustly, and they haven't trespassed, then there's no crime, and there's no reason to extract money from them. So if there's a reason that these officers are acting overly aggressive, I think it's because they're afraid. You know, eventually, there's a ticking time bomb in the midst. When it goes off, nobody knows. And in many ways, it could have already gone off, and we don't even necessarily get to hear about it. So, I think there's a good reason for these individuals to be scared. But here's the deal. This is the most important part of this whole thing. They can quit at any time. They don't need to be a cop. They can go get a job in a factory. They can go get a job at McDonald's. They can go get a job running a street sweeper or driving an 18-wheeler. You know, they're choosing this profession. Therefore, when something bad happens to them, I don't necessarily feel any remorse or any sympathy. You're propping up an evil system that is enslaving all of us. When one of you guys gets a little collateral damage, I don't necessarily feel bad. You know, you have an invested interest in there always being a war on drugs. You have an invested interest in there always being a terroristic threat from abroad. It increases the officers and the soldiers' market share. It gives them more money, more jobs, and it keeps them important in society. Without the constant threat of terrorism and the constant threat of gang violence and all this stuff related to the drug war, chances are you rarely ever need these individuals for anything. So don't expect the crime rates to be going down anytime soon. Don't expect that border to ever get taken care of and properly secured. Just ain't going to happen. Okay,
I completely agree with your analysis, David.
Well, thank you, Katie. Katie, are you getting feedback on your line?
Let me talk a little bit more. No, it sounds good.
Okay, you're not getting an echo or anything?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, folks, so if you guys ever get an echo when you call in, chances are it's coming from your cell phone. So if that ever happens, just go ahead and hang right up and call back. And at any time during my broadcasts, you're always just welcome to interrupt me and bring whatever you like to the table. So, all right. Do you have anything else you want to? You're welcome. Do you have anything else you want to throw in there?
No. I watched that Larkin Rose post your mom put up. You know, cops are cowards. Man, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. What did you think about it? What did you see? What was the basic point of it?
Oh, just basically that they're cowards, you know, and we're fed the lie that, you know, they have a very dangerous job and they're out there to protect us, when actually construction workers have an even more dangerous job, which I thought was funny. And, you know, he made the point about, you know, pointing their guns, you know, at innocent bystanders, people that are just, you know, in the crowd that happen to be around the circumstance. And he said, anybody that knows how to handle a gun never does that. You know, just, you know, some really good points that they're cowards and they have a gang mentality, and that's why they go into the occupation. It was a very good video Larkin did.
Yeah, Larkin Rose is a very thought-provoking individual. Whether you agree with him wholly or not, he's definitely thought-provoking.
He is.
So, yeah, it's definitely a gang mentality, and if they didn't have the gang supporting them, they would not be quite so bold. If they didn't have the ability to call in your license plate number before they actually exit their vehicle, they definitely wouldn't be so bold. If you've ever been in a situation where you're being chased by the cops and you're on foot, you'll notice they're much less likely to get out of the car, they're much less likely to run after you, and they're a lot more wary about the situation. In certain situations, you can get away quite easily when you're on foot. But they figure if they got the car, they got you. And nowadays, they're even taking a step above just calling in your license plate number. I had this confirmed by my friend Carrie, although I haven't confirmed it myself. Maybe it's something you guys want to look into. But I've been told that they're now scrambling your cell phone signal when they pull you over. And now what she told me was, when she mentioned it to the officer, well, I was trying to call my boss from work to tell her I'd be late, and my cell phone signal sounded scrambled. And the officer said to her that, yes, we're scrambling your cell phone signal so you don't call for somebody to come and shoot us. So that's the mentality of these cops that are pulling people over on the side of the road nowadays. They're thinking that even though they're getting you for just something stupid like a small traffic ticket, that your mentality as a citizen or a national is that you're going to retaliate so hard that you're going to call up for backup and have somebody come and shoot them. So, I mean, that just lets you know what's going on with their mindset. Yeah. And I also had this confirmed by my next.
Yeah, good.
And
like you said, they ought to quit. They don't want to be part of it. They ought to quit, you know.
Well, it's a very.
They deserve everything they're getting. I just read an article. Yeah, I read an article at the trenches. It was a guy, I guess he was pulled over for a registration violation or something, and he ended up shooting the cop. I'm going to say Missouri.
Okay.
So, you know, they're getting their just dues. People are, they're sick of it, you know, being harassed.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate if it takes out somebody who wasn't necessarily, you know, a completely bad guy, but you have to, it can't take very long to get a clue what you're a part of. You know, like say you go to the police academy and
yeah,
you're not, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I don't think it would take you much longer, unless you really don't have a brain in your skull. I don't think it would take you much, even if you're coming from completely naive. All you ever knew was public school, and all you ever knew was the local news and football players and kittens. You know, say you're coming from a completely naive state, even under that circumstance, it probably only take you a couple months to start getting a clue there's something rotten in Denmark going on in these police stations. And within a year, you should already know who's who in the zoo. You should know what all their scams are. You should know who and where they're taking money from. And the more I got to know any police department in any area that I was living in, the more dirt that I would find about them. Not that I was talking about that, about these things with them directly, but talking with people in the community, you get to find out the dirt that's going on. And I'll say, as an example, almost every major metropolitan area, there's police running massage parlors. And I'm talking the illicit massage parlors. And some of these are with illegals. They're bringing in these women from China. I don't know how it exactly works with the green cards and becoming a citizen and all that, but they're literally bringing women in from China and having them run these illicit massage parlors, and the police are taking a cut from them. And I guarantee you, to one degree or another, this is going on in every major metropolitan area. When I was up in Toronto in Canada, we used to go there. Before 9/11, we'd all go there at age 19 because it was a rite of passage, per se. You could drink at age 19. So you couldn't drink in the States, but if you crossed the border, you could drink. So we'd go to the casinos, go to the strip clubs and all that stuff. It was not really something that I'm into, but at age 19, you know, it was fun. So I remember going into one of the strip clubs in Lundy Lane in Niagara, Canada, and they had, I don't know, 5 uniformed officers with their pistols and their radios just hanging out right in that strip club. And that strip club runs prostitution. So, you know, if you think these cops are all lily white and you think that they have your best interest in mind, you think they're there defending your freedoms and keeping you safe, then I'm telling you that the way that you're looking at the world is the way the local news presents it to you, and you are absolutely looking through rose-colored glasses. That if you get down into the dirty and the nitty-gritty of it, these cops make friends with the drug dealers. They take cuts with the drug dealers. These cops make friends with the pimps. They help to pimp out these women. They make friends with the escort services. They take cuts from the escort services. They use the services of the escort services. There is a whole nother world below the surface that you are not privy to. And I want to thank you, Katie, for coming up on the show today. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I apologize we couldn't get your call through, Misty, but I hope that you give us another call and we try it again, hopefully maybe even tomorrow. All right, y'all enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Have a good day.